Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The corner of Broadway and Battery. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
When Indiana shocks Penn State in Bloomington, I just want you to remember where you heard it first. Hey now! Oh, who was in a good mood this weekend? My goodness! What a win! Go Hoosiers! I don't care if he was in or not. We'll take it. Rank us! Hello, everyone. Welcome. I want to thank Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky in advance for putting up with me because I might be a little obnoxious today. The Indiana Hoosiers don't see the top 25, but twice in the last 25 years, including this Monday afternoon. And, oh, by the way, the 49ers won in an amazingly impressive fashion, and I'm sure we'll get to that at some point today. But mostly, it's a four-hour show about Indiana's win, and it's good to have everyone here for it. I jest. I swear to God, I jest. Not all the way, but I jest just a little. How are you, fellas? Good weekend?
You don't jest at all. Nobody else on the planet cares, but enjoy yourself.
I will say it was hard. It was a little harder to enjoy Sunday, knowing after Saturday what was coming today. But I soldiered through it.
Go Hoosiers!
Even my dad sent me a text that was like, oh boy, Damon's really going to be on fire on Monday, isn't he?
I promise I won't drive anyone away from the actual program. But it is something
you already
else.
Have.
It's unbelievable to get one of those good
check
football
the traffic.
Wins.
Check the traffic. Go see how many accidents there are on the road right now.
Guess what? We'll be checking temperatures like an old school station because our friends over at Exergen, the temporal thermometer, we're going to do like an old school. When I was at Indiana. Okay, so now it all goes back to the Midwest, baby. When I was at Indiana, I would have this job working. News Talk 1190, a news talk station.
Whoa.
And we would give a time and temperature, and the lockout was the temperature is blah, blah, blah degrees off the world-famous fire escape. And I'm doing temperature checks again. It's like back to radio basics, back to college radio, back to the top 25, and back to the pile of irrelevant you go, New England Patriots. I'm not saying that the 49ers single-handedly ended a dynasty, but it felt like they put the final nails in the coffin with an impressive win. Gentlemen, this entire year, maybe more than ever, especially for the Niners, is about winning a war of attrition. And the 49ers won that war of attrition convincingly. Look, we know what the Patriots aren't. We know that Tom Brady's not there,
But for the 49ers, no Mostert, no Bosa, no Ford, no Sherman. Both starting safeties are out of the game. Your starting nickelback is out of the game. A starting linebacker in Kwon Alexander is out. Your starting center is out. Your backup center is out. And you're on your third string center. The best player in the game, Jeff Wilson Jr., has to exit said game because he gets hurt too. And the 49ers whipped that ass from pillar to post. It was never even in doubt.
You know, you asked us on the call, was Jeff Wilson their best player? And we said yes, and now I regret that. But he was their best offensive player. I just, Fred Warner, holy moly, that guy is good. I mean, he's got to be in the defensive player of the year conversation at this point. That interception was unreal. And, you know, Tony Romo made sure everybody understood just what an incredible play he made on that. But as far as the Shanahan part goes, I think what's interesting is, you know, it'd be silly to say after mixed results in 4 years that Kyle Shanahan's a better coach than Bill Belichick. No one's going to say that, even if he did run circles around him on Sunday. But I think maybe what we did learn is that this 49er regime has been better GMs than the Belichick regime. Because a huge problem for the Patriots right now is that they've gotten almost nothing out of the first two rounds of the draft in the last, like, 5 to 7 years. And, you know, the one dude in there that they did draft sat the year out in Dante Hightower. But when guys like Tavarius Moore and Marcel Harris and Jamar Taylor and, you know, these guys are coming in and making plays and holding the line while almost the entire first unit is out, like you just, you know, rattled off all the names there, that's a credit to what they've done with personnel management.
It is, but in fairness to the Patriots, and I don't really like to do this, they've been picking very down low in the draft for a lot of years, and they've used most of that capital to get veterans to keep their window open, which stayed open a lot longer than I think even Belichick thought. So I don't know if this is a referendum necessarily on general managing. I think it's a referendum on what happens when you run out of quarterbacks. Cam Newton's not a quarterback anymore. Yeah. And I grant you, while your Fred Warner Defensive Player of the Year take is hysterically wrong because it's DK Metcalf, the guy, what we saw yesterday was a decent 49er defense taking a team with a suboptimal quarterback at this point and no other weapons and not letting them up. And that's not a detriment to the 49ers in any way, shape, or form. They took a team that isn't very good on offense and they made it clear that they were not going to smell the end zone. They met all the requirements of a great game. And Fred Warner is very, very good, but it's still DK Metcalf.
I can't argue with the DK Metcalf take. That was an unbelievable play. Absolutely unbelievable.
It was just the strides on him. He looked like Usain Bolt closing any race where there had ever been distance on him. I mean, he just flew, and it was a remarkable
play. He got to 22.6 miles an hour on that play.
And Mostert's like the fastest clock guy in the league, but probably not by much more than that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's chasing down gazelle speed. And he was giving up, I think, about 10 yards and about 40 pounds on Buda Baker, who himself was busting his ass down the field. He wasn't showboating at any point. He didn't pull up at any point. The only time that he looked like he had lost a little speed was when he looked behind him because he heard the wind coming up.
You could see he looked at the big scoreboard and was like, what the hell is that coming behind me?
Yeah, I mean, shame on the Cardinals for not punching it in from there their guy off the hook. But, no, that's the defensive play of the year. And until somebody beats it, and if I had a vote, which I don't, it's DK Metcalf.
Sadly, his teammates wasted it by blowing that game.
Yeah, really. I mean, they could use him defensively because what's amazing is, look, there is no doubt who is the prettiest girl at the football bowl. It's the NFC West. She is unbelievable right now, playing great football. You have four well-coached, well-built, talented teams, and it's going to stay wide open and interesting because all of them are flawed in some way. There is no perfect NFL team. There is no top to bottom, nothing to fear here on any given day type of team really out there, but maybe for the unloved, unheralded, nobody's talking about them, Pittsburgh Steelers, who had a very impressive win, even though they weren't great shakes defensively throughout that game. But a very interesting weekend of football is in the books. It will officially be finalized in the books as the NFC West has yet another game against one of the best teams in all. As a matter of fact, right now, I believe if the playoffs started, the Bears would be the one seed in the NFC. So it is a big game for the Rams against the Chicago Bears in empty SoFi Stadium tonight. And it's a monster. I mean, there are no small games, and we're going to spend all afternoon basking in what exactly happened in New England. And it's really, really a day to look back at what happened. But when you look at the next three games, I mean, the 49ers, whatever test you want them to take or whatever test they have not passed, it's coming. Here it is. The toughest three-week stretch I think any football team can have in front of it. You are at Seattle, home to the Packers, and at New Orleans. It is not going to be easy, and you're going to learn everything you need to know about this team in the next 3 weeks.
Two things. One, Chicago right now is the five seed because Green Bay breaks the divisional seed tiebreaker. And since the four division winner leaders are 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Bears are 5.
And this is from the Bears win tonight. What seed are they?
Have they won yet?
No, but if they win tonight, I mean, I don't think you need to explain away what it is properly. If they win tonight, they're the one seed in the NFC. If they lose tonight,
all right, look,
clearly
you picked the Indiana game. You're the smartest man in America. Congratulations.
I'm on fire, Ray.
But well, okay, yeah. If they win tonight, then you get to be on fire. And if you're obnoxious about it, we'll set you on fire.
Fair enough.
But the other thing. Well, we'll do this after the break because we're already
No, do it. Do it real quick. Real quick.
No. I think the thing that is most hilarious about the NFC West is that one of those teams is going to get screwed by a team for the NFC East.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
That to me is the funniest thing going. A team that's 11-5 or likely to be 11-5 is not going to get in because somebody is 5-11-1.
What a week.
4-11-1.
What a week.
I'm so on that.
What a bunch of choking, no-show, no-account, gagging cowards the Dallas Cowboys are.
Ugh.
We have the right guest to talk to today about that and everything else NFL-related. We got one guest. Michael Irvin is joining us at 4 o'clock. That's all we need on a Monday like this. We are ready to go. We are ready to talk with you about what happened. A huge chess match between two very good coaches with teams that aren't quite as loaded as they should be for whatever reason in a world of X's and O's. Boy, the 49ers really put it on the New England Patriots this weekend. It's a good week around here. And oh, by the way, Indiana is in the top 25, and that makes me happy and therefore have a little transference. You can be happy, too. Let's all be happy together. We'll have a most amazing thing. We will look around at the fact that the Los Angeles Dodgers are just a win away from winning a World Series, so don't let that get you down, but it won't have to happen until tomorrow if it is indeed going to happen. And hopefully, in the shortest, most abridged baseball season ever, we do get a seventh game. So go Tampa Bay, go Tampa Bay, and know that is not a shot at the Raiders, but certainly Tom Brady took his, and he hit those shots this weekend. We have a great show for you today. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, it is good to be with you on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Monday to you here on 95.7 The Game. Niners 33, Patriots 6, and it really wasn't even that close. I mean, it was really a good old-fashioned hoss whooping that the 49ers put on a depleted New England team, but the 49ers are depleted themselves. You know, Ray, Matt, I think one of the hallmarks of good coaching. I mean, there are a few things that just, you know, signify you're a well-coached team. You're not shooting yourself in the foot with bad penalties. You win out of bye weeks because you had extra time to prepare. You're very good in opening drives and drives after halftime after you've made your adjustments. These aren't always guaranteed to win, but more often than not, a good coach will succeed in those arenas. And I just thought that right on that opening drive, the 9-play, 75-yard drive that culminated in a Wilson rushing touchdown, you just saw a prepared, fired-up team ready to play early on. Jimmy scrambling for that first down, it feels like a bigger play than it probably was. Maybe it's just dramatic, but what you have to say is a magic number. And the magic number, gentlemen, is 30 carries. That's it. There's no greater, faster path to winning for a Kyle Shanahan team than 30 carries. He is 3-0 this season when his team has 30 or more carries. He is 10-0 last season when the team has 30 or more carries. Add it together. That's 13 games in a row this team has won when there are 30 or more carries. When you go back to Kyle Shanahan's first season, the 49ers are now 20-4 when they run the ball at least 30 times. And you're not doing that unless your offensive line is whooping some ass. It's the key. You give Shanahan an offensive line, he'll give you 30 carries and usually put you in the win column. It's just kind of that simple.
Yeah, and even when they were a bad team, they were 10-4. You know, what he's done over 4 years, and this is no longer small sample size stuff, he's chosen an offensive line that is better at run blocking than pass blocking. And for a guy who's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer and a guy who can run guys open all over the place, he still wants to punch you in the face first to see when your eyes will stop watering. And yesterday was just, that was basically the game that Kyle Shanahan had been thinking about all week. I want these things to happen. And they did. I mean, 37 for 197, 4 rushing touchdowns. Garoppolo's pass rating, you know, wasn't great because he threw the 2 interceptions, but he was fine with that because he was playing against a team with no discernible offense, and he was playing against the defense that could never leave the field. It's just that the time of possession and the number of carries is so indicative of how Shanahan wins that it should also almost be like a standard, you know, keys to the game, numbers 1, 2, and 3.
So Seattle is a pretty bad defense. I mean, I think we saw that pretty clearly last night. Based on everything we've just said, and I agree with everything you guys just said, what would you expect Pete Carroll to do? Because, I mean, I think my answer is obvious. It's load up the box with everybody he can think of, 8-9 men up there, and try to make Jimmy throw it more than 5 yards. And say, listen, if you're throwing it behind the line of scrimmage or running the ball with Jamichael Hasty as your lead back, it's not happening. Not against us, not this week. And I will be interested to see, against a bad defense, but one that should have a clear strategy in front of it, how does Shanahan counter?
Play action. That's how he won in New England. They were just money on play action. Whatever Jimmy wasn't on every other drop back, what he was on play action was like the greatest quarterback of all time. He was 13 of 14 on play action for like a 250 yards. He was money. He was unstoppable. So even the threat of the run is what the 49ers need to show you to open up everything else. And that's the thing. It's 30 carries. It's not 30 carries to any degree of success. It's 30 carries. 30 carries. I mean, we're obviously not talking 30 carries for 30 yards. It's not a good day. You just can't have 30 unproductive carries. But what it sets up and the time that it grinds, it takes away from the other offense even being out on the field, and the time that it gives the 49ers defense to catch a breath, get a little stabilized, not be gassed at the end of games. I think that it certainly pays off right there, too. 888-957-9570 is the number. Dave in Fresno, you're on 95.7 The Game. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry. I hate to rain on everyone's parade right now. Yeah, it was a good win yesterday, but look at the last couple weeks. and the guys that, you know, that root for Jimmy Garoppolo and want to say, "Let's see, I told you so." These last two games, I'm sorry, that's not it. You guys ever seen the Little Giants? You guys seen the Little Giants?
Sure.
Do you remember
the annexation of Puerto Rico? Puerto Isn't Rico? That the final play?
That is, yeah, that is Kyle Shanahan every play. So before you get caught up in this 13 for 14 off break, at some point in time, I'm looking at big picture. Yeah, the last 2 weeks we won. If you're looking at the big picture, it is very concerning the amount of plays that he has to design for this guy to have some success. I mean, how many times are you going to do a jet screen or a handoff to your receiver? He does that because he has no faith in the quarterback. And yes, you can win games like that. But if you think in big picture, when playoff time, like Super Bowl, when he's going to have to make a play, I'm not seeing it. And Shanahan's just going to run out of plays, man. At some point in time, the quarterbacks have to play quarterback and throw it more than 10 yards. So let's not get caught up in, you know, these last 2 weeks. Keep your eye on the big picture. This guy needs to show more, and the Shanahan needs to show more faith or find a quarterback he does have faith in.
Dave, thanks for the call. Let me just say, you're talking big picture, and none of us are going to come running to the microphone to tell you that Jimmy Garoppolo is this wonderful passing savant and you're missing out on what we're seeing. Because none of us are in that camp. No one here is in that camp. But in big picture, there is no bigger picture than how'd your team do when he started. Jimmy Garoppolo is now 26-8 all-time as a starting quarterback. That's the couple of games he started in New England, every postseason game he started here in San Francisco, the games that he started when he was just thrown into a bad team that went 5-0. Jimmy Garoppolo means they're probably going to win today more often than he has been the reason that they lost today. And that's why when you keep on saying big picture, big picture, big picture, it's the granular stuff. It's the micromanaging of what your expectations on every singular play that is run that he doesn't satisfy, your yards traveled in the air or the perfect window is been met and it was on the back shoulder always and it was never at the ankles. Like, that's where Jimmy needs to get better. It's the microscopic stuff. Big picture, he's about as successful as you can be.
The big picture right now is this is a team that's week to week. They're 4-3. They have injuries coming out each year. They have a brutal schedule ahead. There is no big picture. The big picture is Sunday. And then the next big picture is a Sunday after that. They're not in a position where they're 6-1 and they can start planning ahead to November or December like they were a year ago. This is a different team. It's different circumstances. They're in the hardest division in football. They have a ridiculous schedule, and they're playing with one hand tied behind their back at all times. So there's your big picture.
I think you guys are misunderstanding the caller's point. There is always a big picture of the franchise. And unless I'm misunderstanding what he was saying, he's bringing up the point that I keep bringing up, perhaps to my own detriment, which is, I don't know. I don't know about this guy. In the long term, in the grand scheme, I don't know about this guy. And I would agree with the caller that yesterday was another day where Jimmy fulfilled the exact promise of he's good enough to win and disturbingly bad enough at times that you're not sure you want him to be your guy. And that's the zone he lives in. So I think that's what the caller's saying.
I think that's what he's saying, too. I saw one, that was bad interception. The second interception was a lot more heave it up there at the end of the half, looking to make a big play. On the afternoon, Jimmy was 20 of 27 for 287 yards to lead a team that was just in control of everything all day long. They took away, essentially took away Kittle, certainly limited Kittle, and his touches and his influence in the game, and the game was never in doubt. Like, I'm not here to tell you that Jimmy is now the A, B, and C of quarterbacking, but he is a W more than he's an L. And
no question.
Just no denying
that's,
it.
And that's why I think it's frustrating to talk about, because
He is. He, that's a fact. He's mostly a win, and that's what he has mostly been here. And yet, he makes the sort of mistakes, and the coach shows the lack of faith in him at times that makes you wonder.
I'm going to do something that I haven't done in years. I'm about to give a temperature check. I love it. This is like old. This is like old fashioned radio. We should like all be singing a jingle, like a barbershop quartet or something. I absolutely love it. 95.7 The Game. We got Michael Irvin coming up at 4 o'clock. We're looking forward to all that. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Now for the Exergen temperature check. Are you ready? It's a beautiful, sunny, and 70 degrees in San Francisco.
Nice.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks for being here. It is great to have you this beautiful Monday afternoon. The air smells better. Food tastes better. 49ers are winning. Indiana's ranked. I mean, that's a happy show right there. Boom. How are you? I feel like I'm transferring way too much of Indiana's joy onto the both of you, but I'd like to think of you as like Subway alumni, like you sort of root for them because you're tired of hearing me.
Well, you're half right.
There it is on PTI. They're talking about it. When's the last time Indiana got discussed on PTI? I'm going to say almost never.
The last time they beat a team by cheating. That's the last time they got talked on anywhere.
Hey, you know how many times we've lost due to cheating?
It's not a touchdown. Life's cruel, and then you get a hip replacement. It is Indiana's place.
I'll take it. Just give me one of those. Once every 25 years, we screw over a blue blood for a victory. Of course, the biggest win in the last 25 years came in an empty stadium. It's just so on brand for this season. It really, really is.
I'll take the hip replacement.
Really, man, the whole year has been a hip replacement. Do you guys see the story today that there was a death in Florida? They think that listeria may have like it's a foodborne illness, and they're warning people against eating delicious Italian cold cuts like mortadella and salami and prosciutto. Stay away from it if you're in Florida, or I guess in the South right now. It's a bad year when cold cuts are coming for you.
Well, mortadella is awful. So, yeah, if you eat that, you deserve anything you get.
Wow.
But the other two, I can wait it out. It's way too much fat. All it is tarted up bologna. That's all that is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Identified it correctly.
I didn't think a single person on the show was going to be afraid of tarted up bologna. That's for sure. But
well, indeed. You were talking about Indiana, so I thought of the blandest meat I could think of.
Where do you stand on liverwurst, Ray?
Oh, it's just, it's hideous. I mean, I literally wouldn't feed it to the animal that gave it to me.
I like
liverwurst is just unnecessary.
I like just a little. I mean, I wouldn't want two sandwiches in a month.
Right.
But yeah. One, maybe, sure. Just because it's like a sandwich that reminds me of grandpa, I would eat it, I think. Look, this was a big win for the 49ers. I promise you, I will not inundate you with too much Indiana lore and legend today. But I think the lore and legend of the 49ers took a positive step forward. And I want to hear one piece of sound from Kyle Shanahan, who's talking about what the goal is, not just in this game, but week in, week out. What does he want to achieve as a head coach? Here's Kyle Shanahan on the character that his team showed on Sunday.
How it's been the last 2 weeks is how we obviously would hope every week is. But when you play defense the way our guys playing, when we're running the ball like we have been, just how physical all our guys have been playing, and just every play, it seems like the last play for our guys. And I was just very impressed with the character of our guys individually, which adds up collectively, because those guys play like it's their last play every down, and when you can do that for an entire game and you play smart and don't turn it over, usually good things happen.
And I think that guys, the right attitude is infectious. And so often the guy displaying that right attitude is George Kittle. Tony Romo doing the game on CBS, and you're going to hear him talk over a play because Tony Romo wasn't done complimenting what he sees out of George Kittle. You can tell that he's almost jealous. He wasn't this guy's teammate. Listen to Tony Romo talking about George Kittle, who we all know isn't just the best tight end in football, but the 49ers team captain, their usual leader, and their spirit animal all at the same time.
Kittle, he runs routes against their best corner. He wins by 3-4 yards, which you just don't do. And then you go out and block a defensive end and pancake. I mean, we had so much stuff. I mean, he pancakes like 300-pound defensive tackles. I'm like, Belichick was so effusive with his praise this week. It's all confirmed. Like, it's true. There's nothing about that that's fake. He is this good of a tight end. It's as good as we've seen complete in a while. He does want to take it from you. He doesn't want you to actually feel like you have a chance, like physically. I mean, he's crazy in a great way. And he's so fundamentally, but he loves football, and he's tough. And then he has all the skills you want. Fast, aggressive, smart.
I mean, you could almost hear the envy in his voice as he talked about what Kittle was able to bring to every play that he runs out there.
He had Witten. Like, it's not like he had, you know, you or me playing tight end for
him. Right, he had a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so, boy, you can tell. And we get that almost every week from whoever the analyst is. I mean, it may be nicer coming from Tony Romo, but every week we get to hear a guy gush over George Kittle. Every week, some dude with a crush on George Kittle is on our television, you know? And it's because, how could you not? Not only does he do all the things Romo says, but then he giggles afterwards.
Well, that was a little creepy.
I mean, Romo?
Oh, no, Romo. I mean, it's almost like he wanted to run down on the field and give him a rose. You know, date me for a while. I mean, I'm literally surprised that he just didn't get, you know, grabbed by one of the guys in the booth and say, stay in your chair. We don't want a restraining order. Leave him alone.
It was
disturbing is what it was.
The only thing that Tony Romo did that disturbed me was the way that he pronounced Brandon Ayuk's name throughout the afternoon. He kept on calling him Ayuk.
Yeah, there are a shocking number of pronunciation issues with this 49ers team. Like, I get it. Ayuk looks a little weird, but it's not hard to pronounce. Garoppolo is not hard to pronounce, and yet people say Garoppolo. And broadcasters have gotten to the point now where it feels like they're coming up with new creative ways to pronounce Salah, Saleh, Salou. Like, what are you doing?
And what's odd to me, like, so when you go to the third tight end who is Samoan and the name is like Tamanga Naninga Monanga Magaga, you know, and then you can't even pretend to try to pronounce
The Niners had a guy, Michael Huamanawanui. Is that what his name was?
He used to play
for Detroit.
Very good attempt at that pronunciation. I do remember this is when Teddy Ballgame was doing the play-by-play.
It was a great call.
Ted nailed it. It was maybe the most impressive play of the entire day, the way that he just pronounced it like his last name was Smith, like he just nailed it. This is a starting wide receiver. This is a team's defensive coordinator. And this is the number one broadcasting crew of the number one sports broadcasted property in America. The fact that there isn't a producer in Tony Romo's ear, like instantly saying, Ayuk, Tony, it's Ayuk, or somebody handing him an actual pronunciation guide. Like Lucas writes me pronunciation guides all the time. Be like, remember, it's Ramona Shelburne, not Born. And I just need to be reminded because I've been mispronouncing it all my life. So I go back to the mispronouncing because that's the kind of guy I am. We get into our, you know, I can't say it right. I can't say the word pillow. I know it's pillow. I don't lay my head on a pillow. I call it a pillow. I can't do it right. I try. I can't. But if
that's
I were
a pretty common one.
If I were selling pillows or pillows, not the My Pillow guy, who never mind him, but I think he was just confirmed to the Supreme Court, so that's great. But like it was I'd get it right if it were my job to sell them. Like, I'd really put in the effort. This is a starting wide receiver. You got to be able to properly pronounce the starters' names.
Well, and to your point, someone's got to be in their ear. Like, they have to be told.
Right.
We can't be talking about this on Monday.
Everyone makes a slip at the tongue. Everybody stumbles a little bit. Even the best of the best of the best of the best. But that's why the producers are there, to tell you, hey, make sure that you say this next time, because you just kind of rung it. That's what they do. Lucas, do you feel good? We're kind of doing a segment about you. I guess Lucas is not here right now. He's probably
Lucas
in the bathroom.
Unavailable.
You know what? But in fairness.
Great production, Lucas. Crack job.
He's better when he's not in the room.
That's fair.
Listening to what Kyle Shanahan said, though. You know, he was talking about what he's seen in the last couple of weeks. Could you go back to that for me, Sterling? I know Sterling's in for Nash today.
So someone's in there, right?
Sterling, could you go back to that, or are we just okay, let's do it. Go back to the Kyle Shanahan sound, because it's going to set up what I kind of wanted to talk about right here.
How it's been the last 2 weeks is how we obviously would hope every week is. But when you play defense the way our guys playing, when we're running the ball like we have been, just how physical all our guys have been playing, and just every play, it seems like the last play for our guys. And I was just very impressed with the character of our guys individually, which adds up collectively, because those guys play like it's their last play every down. And when you can do that for an entire game and you play smart and don't turn it over, usually good things happen.
All right, before we get into what I wanted to say and set everything up, let me welcome everybody to the 17th-ranked Indiana Hoosiers and your 3 o'clock hour.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.